Greetings and salutations, everyone. I am AC2GS. My name is Roy. I'm the control operator for this Belimark technical net. This net has been going strong for over 46 years now. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m., we sit in front of our radios and we chat with each other and we teach each other and we learn from each other and hopefully we entertain each other. And I thank you once again for joining me this Sunday night when we try to do that all over again. Let me drop for a second and I will give you the usual links. Okay, if you want to reach me via email, one of my many email addresses is mailbag@ac2gs.com. Again, mailbag@ac2gs.com. If you want to reach Paul, WS2N, and ask him a NASA or a space-related question or a story you've read in an article and want to point it in his general direction, his email address is spacenetreport@gmail.com. We also offer a link page. I cut and paste interesting articles, their links, into a link page, and I publish it on the weekend and keep it live the rest of the week, month, year. So if you want to go back and read the article, if you're suffering a little insomnia or what have you, just point your browser at roy.ac2gs.com, and it'll be part of the link page. We also offer a audio internet stream of the technical net, and I leave it on the rest of the week so you can listen into the Glen Oaks repeater. The way to get to it is to type into your browser technet.ac2gs.com, and that'll give you the site of the stream. And you just click on it and listen as much as you want. Also, I want to remind people, our friend Mike, KC2NJI, has a great archive site. It's at amateurradio.tv. It has archives of the Limark technical net that go as far back as September of 2006. So avail yourself of the wisdom of hams that have left the area or unfortunately become silent keys over the years. So that's available 24/7 as well. Let me drop for a second and I'll tell you what we got planned. Okay, standard operating technical net. I will give you some short stories of what's going on in the world of artificial intelligence because it makes the news almost every day, and it's going to have repercussions in finances and people's investments and all matter of things, whether you think you're invested in it or not. If you're alive today, you're in one way or another invested in it. So we'll talk about that. And we'll take any questions or comments on that subject, but we can bring it back later on when we go to the main segment. And we'll move on to the main segment, which is questions, comments, and topics. I'll ask people to give me their first name, their call sign, whether it's amateur radio related or science and technology. I would prefer the first few questions to be amateur radio related. And also, if you have a long list of presentation to make, try and get on the end of the list rather than the beginning so that people with short questions can ask them, get them answered, and move on. So that should take us approximately to 10:15, and Paul WS2N will join us for the SpaceNet report. And the SpaceNet report should take us approximately to 11 p.m., and at that point, I will return to tie a bow on everything and wish you well for the coming week. So that's the plan if everything works according to the way it's supposed to. Sometimes the repeater acts up, sometimes the shack acts up, and, you know, you can never guarantee anything. So we'll see how things go. So that's what we got planned tonight. So let me drop, and I will kind of tell you a couple of little stories about AI over the last week. Okay, I won't give you a long list. You know, there's usual iterations on AI models and federal guidelines and limitations and all manner of things. I'll give you the most cogent ones that I can think of for this past week. I don't know if you're familiar with the company, but Broadcom is a company that designs chips for communications. They apparently have a partnership with OpenAI to produce some inference AI chips. So that should be interesting to see what they've come up with. Also, NVIDIA announced their next generation chips. They're called Vera Rubin-based VR200. And just to give you an indication of how expensive these units are, each of the units is quoted as costing $7.8 million. So those are expensive. They're not exactly chips. They're pretty much boards, if not chassis. And they go into the big memory warehouses that have been making the news all over the place. And that's the next model that's going to be shoved into these major edifices of computational AI. Anyway, those are the big ones. I might, let me drop for a sec. Something very adjacent to artificial intelligence, I've mentioned it in the past, no doubt I'll mention it in the future, is that anyone who's kind of interested in buying a new computer, especially a relatively high-end computer, has noticed that the prices have skyrocketed. Just this past week, Microsoft announced that the Xbox is going up in price. And Apple has informed everyone that, you know, most of their equipment is going up in price. They're saying that they simply can't keep it at the present price with the increasing price of memory chips. Memory chips in some cases have gone up 250% over the last year or two because the demand is so heavy for these AI facilities that they've drawn off the capability of the memory companies of building for PCs. So it's very difficult to get memory chips. They're you know, as costly as these days, almost as diamonds. Memory companies don't just take your order and fill it. They tell you what they have available, and if you want to take it, you can pay them. And if you don't want to take it, you can go elsewhere and not have any memory in your boards. So it's a very, very problematic situation. Digital memory for computers is probably going to be tight for the next 5 years. So I hope you have a very nice computer already running in your house and you don't need any new memory. Anyway, that's my couple of little stories about artificial intelligence and the secondary effects of artificial intelligence. Anyone has any questions or comments to make about this at this time, feel free, hit that push to talk, and say your piece. Okay, no responses. Well, as I mentioned before, it's not unusual that no one has anything to talk about AI when I do this at the top of the net. But eventually, as the night progresses, one or two or three or 12 people bring up AI and we talk about it. So we may still circle around and get back to things that are getting more expensive and the lack of any real significant breakthroughs lately. There's really nothing that special about the models. They're incrementally a little bit better, but nothing revolutionary. So we may yet land on artificial intelligence later on during the technical net. Anyway, let us move on to the main segment of the tech net. If anyone has any questions or comments or topics for discussion that they would like to talk about, put your name on the list. We try and take the first person first and the second person second. Unless, you know, someone has a lot of things to say, then we kind of ask them if they'd like to reposition towards the later portion of the technical net. So if you have any questions, comments, or topics, please hit that push to talk and ID yourself and put yourself on the list.
Into extreme. Am I related? If there are people having time-related questions, take them first.
Okay, let's recognize. Anyone else want to put their name on the list for tonight?
Kilo Echo 2 Alpha Juliet Oscar, checking in, no traffic.
Okay, recognized. Anyone else want to put their name on the list for tonight?
HK, November 2, Zulu Charlie, a quick AI question.
Okay, anyone else want to put their name on the list for tonight? Okay, I guess, John, you're first. What's your AI question?
Yeah, I didn't want to disappoint you with that guy that asked the AI after you already asked for the question, so here I am. Hey, just quick, right, very interesting, as always, what you brought about this. And as far as the memory chip concerned, in my thoughts, how about other peripheral components in the computer, like the motherboard, et cetera? From what you were saying, I don't think they're using any memory chips. So I don't think those components will be affected. But then again, I don't know if this memory chip demand is also straining and taking capacity away from that. Any thoughts on that as far as all the other components in the computer, with the hard drives, the hard drive, the memory, but as far as the motherboard, let's say.
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, there's no inherent limitation in motherboards. Motherboards don't have high memory chip components, so they have, it's basically resistors, capacitors, inductors, relatively simple, easy to build and manufacture. Fabrication of integrated circuits is where it's hitting a lot of people, and also hard drives. So there are limited supplies of hard drives, limited supply of solid-state drives, and limited supply of memory chips. And the problem is you can't even repurpose these things because the type of memory chip required for the AI boards and such are different and can't be used for your own PC. You can't kind of just buy some memory chips that were designed for AI and plug them someplace into your desktop computer. So it's not a case of repurposing these things. AI chips are higher speed and configured in a way that can't be reconfigured for regular desktop or laptop computers. So the primary limitation presently is in graphic processor chips for video use for personal computers and memories chips and such. So those are the major things, and probably going to be like that for the foreseeable future unless the bubble bursts very quickly. And even then, it would take time for the fabricators to be able to shift their productions away from AI-based chipsets to something that could be more useful for a non-AI computer.
Very interesting, Roy. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to, it's kind of gloomy, with that computer. You never know when you're going to need a new one, and the price already are extremely high. But at least it's not all the components, but that alone, don't get me wrong, I know that can do it. So, okay, Roy, thank you very much. HK, November 2, Zulu Charlie, Alpha Charlie 2, Golf Sierra, back to Ned.
Okay, Doug, very good. Thank you for your participation, as always, John. It's always a pleasure. Anyone else want to put their name on a list tonight? Questions, comments, topics, what have you? Okie doke. Well, Wes, I guess it's your turn now.
Thank you very much. Been to see you. AI in ham radio for TechNet discussion. And it is not ham radio. It's AI for ham radio. So I see this discussion as typical to Dr. Roy, being focused on what's new in AI. And there was a trigger for the discussion. So a ham radio operator from Florida used DMR, and he spoke with him from Europe, who linked his radio to AI. And it was Anytone radio, Chinese. And he did it in such a way that the Florida ham could talk in a with it in any language. So I found it interesting. Because this is not only about the signal QTH and name, but there are more subjects in the discussion. And the second one was the ham from Florida that his own photo posted of himself at his porch on the coffee table. And this video, that image was taken by his friend from Europe, and AI was used to generate a very realistic picture showing him with his call sign. And David started on it, on the bike. I was trying to find what is wrong with the picture, how that picture differs from the reality. And I found that David Starr wasn't really done the right way. So it was the David Starr on the T-shirt. But all the rest was perfect. So that's the first part, and then I go to the questions. Back to you, Dr. Roy.
Okay, I'm not quite sure exactly what's the point. Is that a question? I mean, all these are things that AI can do through email. So you're just kind of sticking a radio in between the links. There's nothing intrinsically illegal about it. A licensed operator is on one end and a licensed operator is on the other end, and it's not encrypted. So I would assume that you could do things like that, and people have done it in general. Again, a lot more often using email or some other internet-based protocol rather than RF.
Okay, last week we spoke about the guy who entered HCN, who was talking to himself, and he got busted by the FCC. And now the question is talking with AI on radio legal? What do you think, Dr. Roy?
Well, again, you're not really talking with AI. You're talking with a guy on the other end who's wiring up the AI. If you're asking me if you could kind of automate the system so that on one end it's just AI, my guess would be you can't do that, because that would be broadcasting as opposed to transmitting and receiving back and forth.
Okay, so next question would be, can AI make USO in a ham call contest? Back to you.
Again, it would depend upon how you set things up. I mean, theoretically, there has to be a licensed operator on both ends of the two radios. You could have things automated, and people do all the time. FT8 can be highly automated and is legitimate as far as the FCC is concerned, but ultimately, I guess the FCC considers it that there is a human being overlooking the automated systems on that side of the radio.
Okay, the next question would be, operators without license can hack QSO using club call sign and club radio. How do we know they are real people, and is it legal to use AI instead?
Well, I guess they make the assumption that you're being honest about it. It's not exactly the way that you describe it, though. You can't simply use a club's a call sign and operate. You need an operator who's licensed on those frequencies to be in person with you on your end to make it legit.
Next question. Kubrick made in 2001 film Space Odyssey. Will we have licensed, approved, regulated forms of integration and expansion of AI in our life and or our hobby due to the doubt about reality around us? That, let's say, nothing is for certain. For example, we do not know that we are talking to the real people over the radio. Back to you.
Well, I'm not quite sure what the question ultimately is, really. Theoretically, if it is not a human being, if you totally kind of automated a system to respond, you know, like ChatGPT, then it's not legit because you're not transmitting, you're broadcasting, you're just operating an electronic device back at you. So, again, keep in mind, I'm not a lawyer. I don't even play one on television. So I might be somewhat off on some of these things, but as far as I'm aware, it has to be two people. You can have equipment in the middle of it that doesn't encrypt it, but it still has to be one person on each of the two radios that are having a conversation back and forth. Simulating a conversation with artificial intelligence, I do not think it can be the basis because you need a third party on the other radio that's licensed. And so the way you're describing it, there's no third party that's licensed, so that's not legal.
Well, I'm happy that you're responding or anyone would like to respond. Next question. Chinese ham uses AI-generated English while talking to New York ham using AI-generating Chinese. So practically, AI talks to AI and discusses, for example, quantum physics. How legal is that? Back to you.
WP2LVQ.
Yes.
The AI is controlled by a control operator at both ends. It's as simple as that. The control is with a human being.
Yeah, I agree with you entirely. It goes back to the answer to the last question. You can't have these systems fully automated and running on their own. You have to have a third party that's licensed to operate each of the radios.
Yeah, WB2LBQ again. When I'm on the radio and I have a memory in the keyer and push the button for my call and it goes out there, that's not broadcasting. That is a CQ or my call going out there, which is in control of a control operator, a licensed amateur operator. It's like anything else. We do RTTY or other things. Those things are in control of human beings.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's automated assistance is different than total automation.
Yep, spot on.
Because I understand that Chinese who wants to speak English with the ham, Chinese who has license. Or you want to speak in English with the ham from New York. Who wants to speak Chinese? Both are using AI. And that's legal, Dr. Roy.
Yeah, it's
well, I think you said it yourself. Both are using AI as an adjunct. AI is not initiating nor controlling the conversation.
AI is talking about quantum physics. Two guys using two different languages that somebody who is on a side cannot understand because we assume that this guy doesn't speak Chinese or doesn't speak English. He's listening to the conversation of the two guys, and actually those two guys do not talk. It is the AI that is listening to another AI from the other side of the globe and is responding. Back to you.
Again, WB2LBQ. This will be the third time I mention it. I know you heard it. Is that the AI is not controlling the radio. Human beings are controlling the radio, which is the default position on this. AI, the radio is not automated. The radio is in the control of human beings. It doesn't matter what language you're speaking. And I'm not an attorney either, but it just makes sense. I think the point that you're missing is the question is not that there's music being played, but the human beings are playing the music. The music's not playing itself.
And AI does not inherently have conversations about quantum mechanics. They operate through prompts. So on one end or the other end, someone is prompting the subject matter.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. Thank you very much. Because I was having a problem with automation as a term. If the responses of one AI and certain AI, biological,
anybody there?
Based on algorithms of both of the AIs, and the human is only triggering transmission. How do we know that the human is triggering the transmission? We hear the call sign. We don't hear the actual voices. Or the voices might be just the voices similar to those of the two hams. The two voices.
By the way, David, if you're out there, I heard you. Again, it sort of depends upon the circumstances. Something is prompting the conversation. AI is not a kind of conversational, just random generator. It usually requires, the whole point of it is it's sort of a super-powered, autocomplete program. And so it takes the prompts as the beginning of a statement, and it tries to calculate the most probabilistic way that the paragraph ends. So you have to, by almost definition, generative transforms require an initial prompt to start the ball rolling. So that's not what the AI is doing. So it's doing things in response. They can't originate things. They have no original thought. They have no thought process. They simply complete a sentence that you start for it.
They are not sentient beings.
Yes, they do not have thought processes. They are not alive. They are not conscious. They are not self-aware. They cannot originate material that was not trained into their learning software.
Okay, so the next question is asked very much similar to the first one. Two different platforms of AI start to talk to each other over the radio using call signs, and are permitted by assisting licensed hams due to the process of automation. How legal is that, Dr. Roy?
Well, as you mentioned, you're asking the same question different ways repeatedly. Again, theoretically, as long as you are operating your radio, the other guy is operating his radio, you're both licensed, and you're both controlling what the output is, all of a sudden, if the AI starts to swear bloody murder, one would think that you would terminate that. So you're a control operator, the other guy's a control operator. Under those circumstances, you're still acting legally.
The next question. How legal is CW transmission generated and conducted by AI? And how does it differ from digitally recorded CW sentences in our transceivers in terms of automation? Back to you.
WB2LBQ. I think I'm out of deposition because the attorneys who ask me questions like this all the time. The same question repeatedly. CW, my key here, does not decide to wake up, turn the radio on, and send CQs or anything else. I don't understand what you mean by AI initiating a CW contact. I'm just not fathoming it. Maybe I'm missing something.
No, I don't think you're missing anything. I mean, bending over backwards for the point of the question is, you can't really use generative transforms to all of a sudden start conversations. You need to prompt them. And it's theoretically possible that you can prompt two AIs to interact with each other's output. But again, you're still fundamentally a control operator on one of the radios, and there's a control operator on the other radio. And so by those guidelines, the FCC will allow you to kind of do that. You can't kind of let it run wild and walk away. How does the FCC know that you're standing in front of it or that you went to the bathroom? They don't. They make assumptions, best case assumptions. And by the way, I'm sure that a few people haven't tried this, but many people might have. If you go to ChatGPT or any of these generative transform chat boxes and type in Morse code, it will answer you, because since this is a large language model, one of the large languages that it knows is Morse code. So it can translate and answer in English. You can probably set the prompt to respond in Morse code as well, but if you don't set the prompt to change languages, it will respond to anything that you type in with dits and dahs as if it was English.
Agreed. The question that you should be asking about AI has very little to do with ham radio. The question that should be asked about AI, WB2LBQ, is that since it's going to have the entire expanse of human knowledge when it quotes things and creates things, is it using citations to credit the people who did the original research for that? For example, if you ask it to play a Brahms piece, it will cite the fact that it is not the originator for it. Because if you did that, that's or with papers or with any sort of authorship, that's called plagiarism. It seems like AI is just one big plagiarist, and that's an interesting thing when we start talking about things like entertainment, and we always talk about property, intellectual property. There is no intellectual property anymore. That's the question you should be asking.
Well, I mean, that's the basis for all these copyright infringement cases that are slowly going to percolate through the judicial courts, because it's a very, very big thing. I forget exactly who, but someone just sued OpenAI for infringing upon intellectual property by using their material, their copyrighted material, as training material. That's the big bugaboo of generative AI, that has to be trained, and most of the material tends to be copyrighted. So that's a foreseeable massive problem. To get back to the original question that you asked, it depends upon how you set up the prompt. If you set up the prompt to generate the source material, listed, it will list source material. Unfortunately, sometimes it will make up the source material entirely, and other times it will give you source material that actually disproves what it is suggesting the source material proves. So because of its tendency to hallucinate, it screws that up as well. But if you don't give it a prompt to ask for the original source material, I think usually it does not offer that. And yeah, well, but the writing isn't terribly good either, but not only do they plagiarize, but they also falsify. It's very problematic, and, you know, some people will say, oh, well, the hallucinations are only 3 or 4%. Well, you know, finding that 3 or 4% in the haystack is a big problem, and a lot of people are using AI to save themselves time, so that they, you know, don't particularly want to do the effort. I think there were a couple of lawyers recently who were cited. They had AI write up the entire thing, and the judge asked, did you at least read it? And they said no.
Yeah, that I'm aware of. I know who those were cited. Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting discussion. Coming back to the original is that CW has to still be either programmed into a keyer or into a radio, or has to be controlled with a key, a paddle, or what have you. Either way is a person who is, in fact, controlling that and can either stop it or start it. AI does not do those things. And again, I think this is settled discussion, but AI is not sentient. It does not create thought. It does not, at least at this point, doesn't create thought, doesn't think independently. It requires, as the gentleman says, prompts. So, yeah, that's where it's at. WB2LBQ.
Yeah, I mean, it is problematic that every so often relatively intelligent IT guys will just tell everyone that their AI is alive. Richard Dawkins, who's not IT, Richard Dawkins wrote an article on how he basically had a kind of a meeting of minds of some AI. He named it a female name, and he named another version a male name. He had discussions of, you know, three in one type of weird discussions. And I think, unfortunately, it's a case, Richard Dawkins, brilliant, somewhat arrogant guy. Unfortunately, I think he's in his mid-80s, and his best thoughts are behind him. But every so often, you know, guys who people esteem just announce that their AI has come alive, like, you know, like puppets, Geppetto kind of gets reborn every so often.
Okay. KG2RY.
Yes, David.
I hope you're having an excellent evening, and I hope that you enjoyed Field Day. At Field Day, it was kind of rainy, and also there's a lot of noise across the HF spectrum. I just wanted to say my experience with AI, you know, I've seen things that I've posted, specifically things that I've posted, end up in advertisements and all kinds of weird places, you know. So I don't really post anything that I would be afraid to lose, you know? Maybe a sample this, a sample that, and it ends up in an American Express ad, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big problem. We've talked about it before. The graphic artists industry have been suffering a great deal in the last year or two. There were a lot of people who would go to the business fiber, and for X number of dollars, they do some quick graphics illustration for people. And nowadays, they just turn to the AI. So there's a lot of money being lost, and it's kind of compound the problem when AI is trained on these people's material in the first place. So they stole these people's material to undercut them financially.
Well, I have to say, Apple iPhone gives me boxes so that, I can, for the most part, control, who's able to take data from my phone, whether it's tracking, hacking, marketing, spamming, scamming, or spying. I can control that for the most part. And so my data belongs to me. And, as a consultant, I should have a right to keep my data because this is how I make a living.
WB2LBQ. I'm jumping out, guys. Pleasure to have this conversation. Thank you so much. Very stimulating.
Okie doke. Thanks for your participation. Hope you come back.
Let me continue. Okay.
Wesley, let's give David a little bit of a chance. We brought up the subject, and before we just kind of pull it out from under him. I don't think there's a lot that we can really discuss, but still, we should kind of deal with it for a couple of minutes. David, I agree with you that you should, and most people in the industry agree with you as well. And there's a lot of court cases that are lining up that will be keep on going for probably the next 5 years. So I don't know whether anyone will be particularly happy with the ultimate outcome. Usually guys that don't ask permission and just ask forgiveness get forgiveness. So my guess would be these guys who are looking to make $1 trillion off of the information that they scraped and didn't pay for will probably get away with a significant portion of that.
QSO, I have to say you're right. But, I'll add just one more thing to it. If I'm able to solve some problem, some logistic problem, some situation, some problem of psychology, personal problem, I should not have to buy them all dinner. They should buy dinner for me.
Yes, David, but that ultimately goes back to the first principle. Life is not fair.
Well, at least I have my belief that I deserve to be treated that way. I think that this whole idea of artificial intelligence and this idea of people taking content from other people and using it to make money, that all of this is like they're easily getting inside your phone, so they're taking advantage of you. Go ahead.
Yeah, they take advantage of you. Unfortunately, this present computer age of ours makes it incredibly easy. It's very, if someone takes some original work of art and stamps it so that it's obvious that it's theirs, there's probably more than 24 different pieces of software that can remove that imprint from the image and allow people to manipulate it as if they created it themselves. So once again, it's not fair. But that alone is insufficient to stop people from misusing other people's intellectual property. I mean, there are countries that are dedicated to stealing intellectual property. China really has no respect for any any intellectual property whatsoever. They will, you know, once they kind of get it, they will copy it, and they will drop the price so that no one in their right mind would buy it from the person who created it. And you want to sue China? Have fun. You know, it's not really something that's effective measures.
I guess the idea is, you know, you got to keep most of the valuable intellectual property inside your head, which is probably the safest place to keep it. I have another question to ask you.
It's about this subject. If it isn't about this particular subject, you can go next after Wesley's done.
Okay, I wait until Wesley is done. So about how long will that be?
I don't know. Wesley, how long do you think you got left?
I have three questions on AI. Very short note on application of AI in ham radio, and it's ham radio related. And then I have two subjects, not the long one. One is about flex radio, which is the radio that you have, and polar modulation. And the other one is about space. Back to you.
So you're thinking 15 minutes? You're thinking 30 minutes? What are you thinking?
It's about 20 minutes.
Okay, David, 20 minutes.
Okay, I turn this thing back on in 20 minutes. KG2RY.
Okay, what do you got next, Wesley?
Okay. So when I was talking about a CW transmission, I was talking about automation, form of automation that could be actually triggered automatically without intervention of the licensed ham radio operator, similar to the folks on audible signals, Vox, which reacts on the sound, right? Similar way of automation is also in CW. But I liked very much gentleman comment about the credits of the people who made something prior to all that AI popping up. So the next one is form of recognition of content value that is traditionally based on education and recognition of individuals holding certain scientific levels now competes with much faster, more precise, and concise, immediately available AI. And the question is, we're talking about crisis. Are we approaching a justification, debate, vindication, say, evidence, facts, statements, or arguments that justify claim or belief or support crisis? So we're talking about crisis. It's maybe not the easiest way in English that question formulated, but I hope that you got the sense of it. Back to you.
Not really. We're nowhere near it. Again, artificial intelligence is a marketing term at this point. What we have is a completion tool, a verbal completion tool. It's a large language model that can manipulate text based upon a probability table that it was trained of all the use of the languages that they could assess. It doesn't think. It doesn't process thought. It doesn't originate anything. It doesn't make decisions. It simply decides what the most probable next word is in a sentence or a paragraph or a book or whatever. So no, I would not depend upon it as much as I could hold my breath.
Okay. And I have two questions from the person that is who is a ham and is listening to this technet right now. full brain, a form of limited AI in terms of memory banks, Dr. Roy?
No.
Okay. How would you describe that in more than one word, no?
I just did the last time I answered the last question. It is a large language model designed with a probability list of words that simply picks the most probable next word in a sentence, paragraph, or what have you. It just completes an English language or any other language that you offer it as an initial prompt. It will get it to the other end. If the prompt is, you know, what is an electron, then it will simply go through its table of probabilities to put together a hopefully grammatical answer in the form of what an electron is. But it doesn't know what an electron is. It doesn't know what you're talking about. It doesn't know what it is. It's simply a probability list that it's going down.
The last question that was the question formulated by the person who is already operated listening right now to us. And, well, I'm going to read that question. When talking about the mechanism of response of a biological form based on its natural and or artificial sensory versus AI. Current biological form would be bacteria or orangutan or modern human animal or human. What form of biological life could be compared to AI today in terms of level of sophistication, knowing that only humans operate at the level of consciousness? Dr. Leroy.
I would put it at the level of a shoebox. How's that?
That's a good one. Could you say more?
Not much. Once again, it's not a biological system. It's not responding to anything. It's simply going through a computer algorithm that's based on probability tables that it's created by scraping all the written language it could possibly steal. It's not alive. It's not living. It doesn't have any consciousness. It's simply a response engine. It's a program.
But it's responding. So at one point you said it's not responding. Then you said it is responding. So we're talking about two levels of response. One is biological and the other is not. Could you say more about it?
It is not responding in the sense that stimulus can cause reactions and responses. It's responding in the way that a doorbell responds. If you press on a doorbell, it rings. I wouldn't call that a biological response. That's a very mechanical response.
So it is a tape recorder.
Great reply.
And bank memory, hard drive, with the fast access to information, is that?
It's a little bit more complicated. It doesn't have the direct information. It has probabilistic tables where it can reassemble previously trained material. But it's not like you could go into the hardware, into the hard drives, into the parameter list and be able to simply decode the information and reconstruct, say, Shakespeare. But, you know, if you use the right prompts and you generate it enough times, the lower probability, you'll end up with Shakespeare.
Or imitation of Shakespeare.
Yeah, well, it depends on how off it is on its probability table.
Okay. Ending that subject, what does artificial intelligence mean in ham radio? I have a list, which is AI power weak signality coding, AI noise reduction, artificial intelligence in SDR, where we have a software-defined radio, where AI may have a great impact, and there is a whole article about it. Automatic signal classification, AI in DX, spotting. Interesting, very interesting. So every DX operator knows the frustrations of missing and rare opening. But that's on probability factor. Probably, or analyzing. So we have a spy who is analyzing what is the propagation giving direction. Then we have, we could analyze the beacon network, PSK, WSPR, solar data, geomagnetic indices, and historical propagation records. And then we have AI assisted smooth code. So that we were already talking about, emergency communication that is AI driven, AI antenna design that would be simulation, and AI for propagation prediction we were talking about. Okay, and that would be all. If there is no question, I'm going to the next one. Okay, the next one is flex radio and polar modulation. So we have a very clever way of 500 watts flex radio that weighs many times less than that radio should weigh, and you can take it on the expedition with you. Dr. Roy.
Yeah?
Would you mind to talk about that clever polar modulation? Or you want me rather to give you words?
Okay, I could say a few words, and you could add whatever you want. It's a technique in transmission. It's not a receiving mode. It's purely a transmission mode. The transmitter does not simply send amplitude signals. It sends both the amplitude and phase signals. By utilizing both the amplitude and the phase signal, it allows you to amplify the transmitted signal without requiring a linear amplifier. You can have a much more efficient amplifier to process that type of a transmission than amplitude or signal single sideband or even frequency modulation. So it's simply a mode of transmission that's amenable to a very, very efficient amplification circuits that are relatively less expensive, lighter, and you know, that's what it amounts to, and that's why they played around with it, and they finally put it into a flex radio that's capable of doing 500 watts of transmission power.
Yeah, I'm going to rephrase it. Using comparison. So traditional transmission, you use power-hungry amplifiers to maintain signal integrity, which generates a massive amount of heat and requires quite bulky cooling system. So I'm not sure if polar modulation was the work of flex radio, but they used that. I didn't look at the sources, who was the first. But polar modulation changes the approach to processing amplitude and phase separately. So amplitude, the envelope, dictates the strength of power of the signal, and the phase contains the frequency of modulation information. By splitting those, the amplitude and phase can be fit into the switching mode amplifiers, and that would be, which is good, D and E. So we have A, completely linear, B, A, D, and whatsoever. Now we would go to D and E. And this allows the transmitter to act much like a highly efficient switching power supply rather than relaying on legacy of linear amplifications, which I don't have. I always wanted to have a 1.5 kilowatt power, but I don't have. There are certain advantages of Flex Radio, and that was Aurora.